Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one sunlight podcast in all of the outside. I am Parker, joined as always by Cumulus.
Thanks, Parker, bro man.
Hey, we're bros.
That's right. You're the ultimate bro.
Hey, thanks.
And I mean that as a compliment, yeah. Not in the shitty way.
Oh, I take it as a compliment.
Cool. Hey, You have all your Christmas shopping done?
I do, because I bought the wife, like, some things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really as far as I take it. I don't know. I have a hard time these days. A, like, I'm a cheap jerk, and I don't really like anybody, so it's, like, good to not buy people presents. Although, you know, I'll send something to my mom or something to my dad every once in a while. But I find it harder and harder as a man who does not go to church every Sunday and does not, like, worship Jesus, the risen Christ, to...
Jesus, the risen crust, right?
Yeah, the crust.
The self-rising crust.
Yeah, the pretzel crust. He's got that new pretzel crust, you know.
Jesus pretzel Christ.
Leave
the self-rising Christ.
Jesus said, give unto little Caesars, as they would give you pretzel crust.
Pizza, pizza, he saith unto thee.
But I find it difficult to be like, I'm going to go out and wrap presents with little Santa Claus to celebrate Jesus. Because it's, I don't know, it seems very fake. I have friends who all day, every day, they go, these goddamn, Republican, Christian extremists are ruining everything. And they're not wrong but about that part. But then they go, I want Jesus out of everything. No Jesus in schools. No Jesus here. But when it comes to me getting $50 for my grandma, I'm okay with Jesus. And so, I don't know. I have a tumultuous relationship with this Christmas because it seems like there's a lot of, I don't know, a lot of weirdness going on with it.
This Christmas or every Christmas?
Every Christmas.
This is actually kind of a thing that we haven't accomplished yet with the show. We've managed to have Cranksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So we've reappropriated that so we can celebrate the movie Crank and Jason Statham and Toughness. We have a Julian Sands day, but I forget which day it is.
I think that might be Julian Sands giving, perhaps. It might be with the same day.
Yeah, and they might compete with each other. I believe that's how it first worked out. It's like either or is good.
Mm-hmm.
But we've never been able to reappropriate Christmas, and I'm not sure what to do, really.
We could have Julian Sandsmas.
That's perfect. Let's do that. So Julian Sandsmas, celebrate by watching the Warlock movies, mm-hmm. the short-lived Animalia pilot for USA, where he turns into animals. I forget the name of it, but you can just do Julian Sands animal TV pilot failure, and you'll be able to find it.
Well,
so there you go.
You'll be able to find it if you leave out the word failure, because he's never failed at anything, I think.
Oh, quiet success is what you have to put in place of failure there. I think Parker's right.
Yeah. And most of all, you have to watch Boxing Helena, the greatest Julian Sands movie of all time.
Yeah. I mean, imagine like it's wrapping a box for Julian Sandsmas gift. That's how we play into that. But I know what you're saying, though, because, I mean, it's never as explicit as somebody saying, like, oh, I'm okay with Jesus because of this, but they're totally like, yeah, $50 is great. I'll take that on the down low. And even people who aren't, like you said, do not have any sort of belief system, they'll still participate. And I'm at a point where I just don't know what to get people. Like, I'm okay with getting younger relatives gifts because it seems appropriate. I mean, why not give a gift to a kid, right? Like, It's not like kids are being shitheads to everybody. Like, they might have shithead moments, but it's not intentional. And it just kind of, it's a pass. When they get older, then it's like, okay, now you're just being an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it's fine. So I'm kind of at this conundrum where it's like there's this heavy obligation to get gifts for adults, and that just seems wrong.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like, I think Christmas should end, like, when you're kind of an adult. Like, you know, and I mean, I'm a total jerk because I do accept the money that my family gives me on Christmas. But, like, I don't, it's like when I got to be 18, I expected it to end, and it doesn't. And then there became the expectation where, like, you know, now you're 18 or whatever. Now you got a job. Now you got to let us in on the money. And it's like, why is this happening? Like, I don't, like, can't I just maybe think about my grandma on March 22nd and get her a gift then? Like, why do I have to do it to coincide with winter, the winter solstice, and with the birth of the risen Christ, you know?
See, that? Yeah, that's the other thing I don't quite understand. I mean, we can debate how, like, Christmas is basically the reappropriation of Saturnalia, or pagan holidays, or both, or whatever. I mean, there's no way that person, no way Christ was born on that specific day. It's just something to celebrate in the midst of winter. And where you are, like, Christmas is, it's not as dire as, like, in New England, where people get snowed in and they have to live off, like, canned rations and candlelight until the heat comes back on. Like, it doesn't seem like the end of the world where you are. So you might as well just be like, oh, okay, it's Wednesday. So time to get some groceries or whatever. What the fuck? Everything's closed. I didn't know this. Or, I mean, like, you did. But still, I don't understand. I mean, we know that the world isn't going to end because snow is falling. We know that it's going to spring back to life again. So I feel like this is kind of empty reminders, like, don't worry, we're not all gonna die because it's snowing.
Mm-hmm. You're not all we're not all weird Cro-Magnon mans anymore who think that the snow is gonna last forever because it's happening right now.
Yeah, here's a symbol of how much I love you in immaterial form, because this might be the last time I get to do this. It feels weird to me.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm all for it on birthdays and whatnot, but right now, like, I'm just getting people booze and alcohol.
yeah, like, once you're an adult, it's not like, even like, it's usually stuff that's like perishable, or like stuff they're not gonna have in 3 months because they will have drank it or whatever. Like, at least if I was like giving my dad, like, you know, Grand Theft Auto, I'd feel good about it, because that's like years and years of enjoyment.
But it is, yeah, it's a gift that keeps on giving, for real.
Yeah, but instead I'm just like, here's you know, a six pack of you know, some kind of fancy beer or something, whatever it would be.
Some Miller or whatnot.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me of something. But I want to keep talking about this for a second. The idea of Christmas in Japan is pretty great, because it's like this outsider looking in on U.S. version of Christmas. And depending on where you go, like, there might be some people who, you know, are recognizing the birth of the self-rising Christ, and we'll take that into effect, and people go to midnight mass and whatnot, and they do all that sort of thing, and then they of course do like the family bit and the materialism. The funny thing is, like, while in Japan, you come to the realization that the Japanese don't really give a shit about religion. It's not even like they're staunchly atheists; they just don't have time for it. What with, you know, everything that's going on in Japan, it's a really vibrant place. So yeah. It's like, we got all this other shit happening.
They got that Evangelion reboot coming out. They got no time for Jesus.
Giant robots, Shinji, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Focus on that stuff. So, like, as outsiders looking in, they don't see, like, the quiet mass or the prayer or anything like that. Like, that's gonzo. They see the movies, though. And the movies are, like, romantic comedies and like home for the holidays, and it's just people giving gifts to each other. Never really takes place in a church, hardly ever. Santa Claus giving gifts, oh, believe in magic and all this stuff. So it's a magical time of giving gifts and some romance, and it's primarily like guys getting gifts for women, and they make no bones about it. It's pretty fucking great. Like, they just focus on the materialism. Like, oh yeah, that's awesome, let's just have a bunch of sales and buy stuff. So Christmas Day is like, you know, it's a huge sale day for all their retail shops. It's just people going out and shopping for each other. And it kind of cuts to the meat of things. Like, it's kind of gross because it's just materialism straight up. But it's like, no, we're not going to pretend about anything else. I just really like this person. I want to make sure that they know it. So here's a gift.
Yeah.
And based on nothing except their idea of what Christmas is, it's pretty interesting. And there's also Christmas cake, which you can find at a 7-Eleven. It's a very nicely made cake that you just eat on Christmas.
I like that. That sounds good.
Yeah, man. It's pretty fucking great.
Yeah, I respect that, because then you're cutting out the middle, man. It's like, now Christmas, it's like, yeah, you know, it's like cool to give people gifts, but I feel pressured into doing it because of Jesus and like all this. And it's like, you know, the other day I was at work, and like for some reason there's like all this Christmas decorations on my desk. So I moved them off my desk, and then like 3 days later, one of my bosses came by and they're like, hey, you know, we put these decorations on your desk. You're not going to decorate? And I guarantee you, if I would have said, well, I don't really celebrate Christmas, like, everybody would have looked at me like I, like, ripped a horrible fart, you know, like, yeah. I would have been shunned forever. And this is the kind of pressure that they give you, you know? So I enjoy that Japanese style, which is like, nah, man, we're just into gifts. Fuck it. Like, we're not trying to pretend that these are gifts for Jesus or whatever. Like, it's just gifts for gifts.
Yeah, and then there's the romantic part of it. Like, there was a, this is kind of weird. But there was a boy band when I was there named Snap, and it was kind of like One Direction back then. This was like 7-6 years ago. But it was these young, handsome Japanese men, and for their Christmas special, the Christmas special was just them like telling about how they would surprise their significant other on Christmas Day. And they didn't really have any variance between them. So, like, each member of these five members, I remember this sequence where, like, the girl is walking across this snowy bridge, and she's very pleased with herself, and she's like, there's romantic music playing, and then she hears, like, this small beckoning, and she looks down into the river, and each time it was, like, a guy in a boat, like, one of the members from Snap, like, in this boat, and had a big sign behind him that said something like, I love you. And he's looking up at her, and then, like, the camera zooms in on his face, and he smiles, and he's like, I love you, that sort of thing. But again, they just, all it was is that they did this each time with every different member. So it's just this looping thing where it's, you know, each person saying, like, well, here's what I would do. And it was the exact same thing. I don't know if that was a joke or not. I didn't understand enough Japanese to get it. It was just the same thing again and again with every different person. It's, you kind of expect some variance where it's, you know, this guy jumped out of a plane, or this guy, you know, rode a horse in the town. But each time it was like, hey, I'm down here and I'm on a boat with this I love you banner. And I love you.
Maybe that should be on your sign off for the show.
I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on this boat and I love you.
Yep.
That sounds all right.
That'd be pretty good. Speaking of Japanese TV, I've been playing this Total Extreme Wrestling game, which is like a text-based video game where you like own a wrestling company.
Yeah.
And you have to like book matches and hire people. And Hard Gay is in the game, but he won't work for me because he doesn't want to move to America.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Is he still around?
I don't know. I assume in some capacity he is. I got like a, you know, user-created mod that takes place in like 2010 or something. So as of 2010, he was at least around enough to be in this version of the game.
That is hilarious. I mean, I didn't know that, like, that was even an option.
Yeah.
So you can't, you actually actively look for him?
Yeah, I saw him, like, there's like a big list of like everybody who's like available to like negotiate a contract with, and he was there.
Damn, man.
I know. I was hoping to give him a contract and then give Razor Ramon a contract and then have the greatest feud of all time, but...
Who?
Razor Ramon. Scott, like the real Razor Ramon.
Oh, Scott Hall.
Yeah.
I was just remembering that he went by the other name, Razor Ramon. Yeah. Hard Gay, Razor Ramon. It was actually pronounced Lazaro Ramon.
Yeah, it would be the greatest feud of all time, but... WrestleMania main event. But it's not going to happen. Anyway, that's very un-Christmassy. Speaking of Christmas.
Well, because we're talking about Hard Gay, I want to describe some of his finishing moves, mm-hmm. his signature moves.
Of course.
His finishing moves consisted of the 69 driver, the gay road driller, the hard gay triangle lock, it's a triangle choke with pelvic thrusts. And it's kind of neat because it incorporates like the pink triangle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The gay road driller, by the way, is the DDT rolled into a cradle. That sounds pretty slick. That's actually creative. And 69 driver is a kneeling reverse pile driver after shaking his groin against the opponent's face.
Yeah, Hard Gay, for the listeners, is a comedic semi-wrestler in Japan who his whole thing is that, like, he's kind of a leather daddy. He's kind of gay. And a lot of times he, like, humps children on playgrounds and stuff.
Yeah, it got a bit out of control. Like, he would use his personality and his leather daddiness to, you know, help out a ramen shop that was failing or help a young girl reconcile with her dad, or like a teenage girl reconcile with her dad. And then there's one where he's like helping kids at a playground, and because he has part of his shtick is pelvic thrust, it gets really uncomfortable to watch.
By uncomfortable, you mean intensely funny.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But it's nothing I can recommend.
Yeah.
Much like watching Blue Velvet or something. Also, he came out to he would always come out to Livin' La Vida Loca by Ricky Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And this was also used in all of his comedy clips. So they would just like drop Ricky Livin' La Vida Loca whenever he started pelvic thrusting. It was, you got to look up some of his stuff on YouTube. He's pretty great.
He's the best. He's one of the best comedians of all time, I'd say.
And we were there. I was there in Japan like during the height of his career, which I don't know if that's saying much or anything. I don't think he still does this. I think he's probably since retired. I know he's married and has a kid now. But yeah, I think he might be on his way out.
That's a shame.
Oh, but the memories will live on forever.
That's true. And the merchandise. I'm going to check eBay later for some Hard Gay merchandise.
One of his signature moves was the PW. Can you guess what that stood for?
I don't know. What does it stand for?
Penis Schwash. That's with an H at the end.
I like
it. It's a standing Bronco Buster.
Ah, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Penis Schwash. Speaking of Blue Velvet, there was a very unique event this week on Thursday evening. The city paper here, well, one of the city papers in Little Rock, has been doing a film series. And they started with Beverly Hills Cop, which is pretty nice. Mm-hmm. And then they showed this documentary about immigrants trying to cross the border. I think it was... oh, shit. It's not coming to me who directed it, but that actor who was in... He's been racking up a lot of film credits. Gabriel Marquez. He was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And on Thursday, they showed Blue Velvet. Do you want to take any guesses as to how that went?
Was it very uncomfortable? I've never seen the movie, but I hear it's for creeps.
Yeah, man. I got to see all of the ghouls come out. it was fantastic being able to see this movie on a big screen. It's the first David Lynch film I've seen on the screen. I had not seen it for about 14 years, so I forgot a lot about this movie. I won't spoil it for you, but do you want to hear anything about the film, or do you just want to hear about the audience?
Tell me about that audience, because I'll probably see it, because Sean Byron has a mission to make me watch all the David Lynch movies.
Yeah, this one is probably the most rewarding for people recommending David Lynch, like Sean Byron, because it's... I forgot how ghoulish this fucking film was. I totally forgot. It slipped my mind. I recommended Friends come out. Now I feel like a complete dickhead.
Oh, no.
Because I'm like, yeah, there's just, it gets real brutal. And I forgot how brutal it got.
Give me a ballpark of what happens.
Oh, Parker. Let's just say the bad things that can happen to a woman physically and psychologically do happen to this woman. It gets real bleak, and it doesn't really come back around to be like, oh, well, that was good then. Like, you see parts of humanity, and it's not like I spit on your grave. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, like, you know, it's not this rape revenge thing, and it's not the sense of like this isolation. It's talking about like other Lynch films, this duality. So it's darkness and light, and suburbia and the seedy underworld. And it does this throughout, and it's a pretty easy concept to get. Damn it. Like, it's just a ballpark range. Not as bad as I Spit on Your Grave, but probably only a little bit better than The Hills Have Eyes. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like that, but gangster-oriented. Like, this is probably the most interesting roles that most of the actors have done. It's the most memorable. Dennis Hopper, for sure. And everybody's intense and scary. And, like, about an hour in is where it picks up. So, like, the last hour is really dark. Well, 40 minutes. I think 40 minutes. It runs about 2 hours. And 40 minutes in is when Dennis Hopper finally comes on screen. And when he comes on screen, it just goes batshit insane. It goes from, like, the Hardy Boys or Nancy Drew,
mm-hmm,
to like, oh, I don't know, Seven, something like that. The movie Seven.
I see what you're saying. So the audience members, they were like wearing like a lot of Serbian film shirts and stuff like that?
In the back rows, yeah. There's people I'd never seen before. Like, I tend to make it out into town at least once a week, if not like maybe twice a month or something. So I feel like I'd been to some real shitty places and good places, but feel like I got a pretty good run about who all exists and lives and breathes in Little Rock. And these were people I had never seen before. And it's not like they were basement ghouls. Like, these were crust punk kids and stuff, and, mm-hmm, you know, cult film enthusiasts.
Yeah, that movie's big with, like, crust punks, I've noticed. Like, all my, like, crust punk friends are real into that movie.
But I don't mean, again, I'd never seen this film in theater before. And watching it in a large group setting with a bunch of strangers made for a very uncomfortable time. Because, again, like, the first 40 minutes, it's all kind of like, you know, it gives you a taste of the vanilla veneer of suburbia and all this. And it's these kids like, oh, we found a mystery. Let's figure this out. And it's kind of like, you know, there's a sense of darkness, but it's pretty, you know, it's pretty like sweet and simple. And then Dennis Hopper shows up. And at first you're like, oh yeah, he's got all these great lines. But then you're watching the shit he does to people in a room with other people around you. And you're like, oh, fuck, this is very uncomfortable.
I'm sitting like 6 inches away from somebody.
A stranger. We both got PBRs because we thought this would be cute and funny. Now we just feel like assholes for associating with this character, which is, I mean, the right feeling. And so, like, this huge hush came over, like, as people were just kind of talking to each other and commenting to each other, like, oh man, this is great that we get to see this for this first 40 minutes. And then, like, Dennis Hopper comes in, he's a fucking freight train, his character Frank Booth is. So everyone was just like, oh fuck. A lot of audible gasps from people, even people who stayed to the end. Like, it keeps going like that in the last, like, hour of the film.
People were walking out?
Yeah, people walked out at that first blush. And they didn't create a huff or anything. They're just like, nope, this isn't for me. And I totally understand that. After watching it in a group setting, I was like, oh yeah, this is pretty uncomfortable.
Well, I need to see this movie, apparently.
Yeah, man. Do you like any of these actors, like Dennis Hopper, Isabella Rossellini, Laura Dern, or Kyle MacLachlan?
I like Laura Dern, and I like Dennis Hopper a great deal. I like that Apocalypse Now. And Dennis Hopper is in the greatest movie scene of all time with Christopher Walken in True Romance.
Oh, they're in True Romance. I still haven't seen that movie.
Oh, my God. If you want to see the greatest movie scene that's ever happened, you should watch True Romance.
Okay.
It has the best scene.
There are a lot of great scenes in this movie, but man, the impact they had on a large screen was more than I was prepared for. Like, again, I was gasping at shit because I just was not prepared for it. It had been a long time. And so it's a super effective film. It's like it's impactful. So yeah, you should probably see it.
Nice.
And I did not expect to see it in Little Rock. And that's not to say anything about Little Rock. I didn't expect to see this movie on screen really anywhere. Like the trips that you and I had made to Los Angeles, I'm sure it's played there. I just haven't kept an eye out for it. And it just seems like a really weird, rare film to be showing at 7 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's understandable, especially near Christmas.
Right? Yeah, this is their December film. There's no Christmas film after this. Who else is there in it? There's Dean Stockwell. He's in it too, as Ben. He's probably my favorite part of the movie.
I see.
Aside from Dennis Hopper. But yeah, I felt like a real fucking ghoul. And then I left and ran to some friends in the lobby, and one of them I hadn't seen for a while. I was like, oh, hey, Frisbee. Yeah, thought I'd see you here. I'm like, thanks.
Hey, Frisbee. I thought you enjoyed rape.
You weird, creepy, ghoulish piece of shit. What are you going to do now, you weird fuck?
Hey, Frisbee. I heard what you said about Serbian film. I knew you'd be here.
Oh, yeah. Like, I never denied it, and I'm not going to say, like, this shit's awesome, but it seems like I'm getting pretty well versed in ghoulish movies if I wasn't before. So yeah, I was kind of disappointed to hear that that's the reputation I have in a town outside of this podcast. It was,
You're a man who likes the finer things, you know, the more interesting things in life.
I would not make that argument either. I don't think these are the finer things. I think there's some real creep ass shit.
You like the finer things, Mr. Frisbee. You like the things that the plebeians don't like. You like the things that the unwashed masses aren't going to watch. You like the high art, Mr. Frisbee. That's the argument I'm making.
This sounds like a forum thread contribution on some depraved website advocating for ghoul rape scenes. I've been listening to this podcast called Lou Reads the Internet for You. Have you ever listened to this?
I did one time, but I didn't get into it.
I've been getting really into this. And as the title suggests, it's this guy named Lou Hernandez who reads internet forum threads to his listeners. He's trying to do it in the most professional way possible. Sometimes he cracks. Sometimes he breaks character. Those are much funnier than it usually is for like a sketch comedy show. I liked it so far, what I've heard of it. But he reads some real, real fucked up forum thread submissions. The one I was just listening to was like a forum thread called Breeder Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with this?
I am not, but sounds intriguing.
Well, this is what popped up after another website called Bug Catcher shut down. Do you know what that is?
I do not know. Is it? I don't know. What is it, Mr. Frisbee?
It's a forum of contributors who claim to be very sexually active and are fantasizing or hungry to catch the AIDS virus.
Oh my God, Mr. Frisbee.
That's what he's reading from. This isn't me. He disassociates himself from it too. He's like, he gets these as suggestions to read. Like people are like, oh, you should read something from this. So you can imagine how like depraved some of this stuff gets. And what's weird is that like, the vibrancy and the lexicon, the language of these people and how into it they are in describing this stuff. To me, it only reads as fantasy. It would be horrible to think that like any of this stuff was true, but it just sounds like people trying to live out their fantasies as kind of bizarre as they are. And I can see, I thought I was open-minded before. I think I'm getting more open-minded now. And this is one of those things where it's really testing my ability to be open-minded towards people. Because this is really fucked up. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, I need to run it by somebody else who's... who might have some good opinion about this.
Yeah. Getting sexually identifying as a virus murderer is definitely not the right way to go.
Oh my God, man. Like, and it's all this, like, backslapping, highfalutin, like, oh yeah, I'm totally into catching Paz virus or whatever. I mean, I'm not going to go into how they actually talk because this is, I mean, oh, it's gross. But, and he just, yeah, it's very funny to hear him read it though, because he'll come across like certain phrases and he's like, oh God, like, he has to like steel himself to get ready to read it.
That's understandable. It sounds yuck. I'll give it a listen.
Vore, that was his most recent one. Have you, you know about Vore?
I do not.
It's, that's the fantasy. It's a fantasy about people eating other people, but like in this unphysically possible cartoonish way. Like, yeah, I would want to, oh man, Vore is so hot. I would love to eat someone so they can be looking out from my esophagus and experience what I'm experiencing. Like, it doesn't make any sense, right?
Yeah, I'm into it though. I, you know, I've always sexually identified as a person who wanted to eat a person by putting them into my mouth whole and then just pulling out one bone.
Yeah, so, yeah. Not even a skeleton, but like a one bone to represent their entire body. I remember one day on Twitter, you said your sexual identity today was Kirby. So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That is my sexual identity.
Yeah. I don't... They had like a Yoshi fantasy where like Yoshi's tongue would wrap around somebody. Like you have a Yoshi's tongue and it's a form of role play.
Mm. All right.
Anyway, it's been a real eye-opener. And that's what I thought of when you were talking about, like, defending ghoul movies.
Well, this is gross.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm so sorry. You want to read an email?
Let's read an email. Hopefully it's not, pool party, you know, I would want to stick you guys in my mouth so you can look out my esophagus.
Well, I guess we better skip emails then, because that's all it says.
Oh, no.
No, it's titled Sacramento, more like Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Parker, Frisbee, and the audience. Is our audience here?
No, they're not here. They're on Christmas break.
Oh, that's nice.
They're visiting their families, yeah.
James from Sacramento here, and I wanted to let you all know how terrible it is living in this shithole town. First off, our only sports team is the Sacramento Kings, and they suck. The local news tried to talk about how good they are, but they're terrible. Also, I went to see Kiss here last summer, and Paul Stanley called our town Sacramental, because you'd have to be mental to live here.
Oh, Paul Stanley making jokes.
Well, that does sound like a Paul Stanley joke, though. Mm. Like, I'm sure he's a dad somewhere, but this is a very dad joke to make. He says, he and the rest of the band took pity on us and held a lottery where the winners could hide in their luggage and be smuggled out of here to start a new life in a better city. As you can tell, I didn't win. Oh, that's a bummer.
That's sad.
I'm sorry, James.
Real quick, you can tell how shitty Sacramento is that people are forced to go to Kiss concerts just to try to have fun.
Yeah, this sounds real Hunger Games-ish. Like, they're holding a lottery at this forced concert for Kiss. Sounds awful. The only thing worse than living in Sacramento is dying here. The town literally swallows your soul as it escapes your body. Jeez. Mm-hmm. I think Sacramento might be the bleakest town. There's probably a bunch of like akin Irish poets there or something.
Could be.
And you know what Sacramento has given the world? The bands Tesla, Papa Roach, Oleander, and celebrity chef Guy Fieri. Pretty rough.
Yeah.
Speaking of Guy Fieri, he recently closed down his restaurant in Sacramento. He drove off screaming, "I'm free." We knew he had finally made it to the big time at that moment. Fuck Sacramento, James. Yikes. You ever been to Sacramento?
I have not yet. I've often wanted to because, you know, as a juxtaposition to all those shit bands that are from there, the Groovy Ghoulies are from there. And Kepi Ghouli plays there a lot, but I haven't been. It's like 4 hours away or something. So maybe one day. But I hear that 85% of the people who live in Sacramento are rockabilly kids who really enjoy You know, the horror pops. So that's good, JK. Yeah. That sounds shitty.
Well, James, we, Parker, I, and the audience wish you the best in every effort to get out of that shithole town. Don't trust Kiss, no matter if they play Strutter or not. It's all right. Even if they do play Strutter, don't get hypnotized by it. Try not to win their lottery. You can do it. I believe in you. We believe in you. How far is Los Angeles or San Francisco or Oakland from there?
Oakland and San Francisco are pretty close. I think it's like an hour or something.
Yeah, I would suggest going there instead.
Yeah.
You got those Ilcon guys. They're the best dudes around, so they can show you how to like get around town and stuff. Los Angeles. There's a yearly podcast bro meet up there. Why not? Mm-hmm. That's one reason to live in that city, which I'm getting more convinced is way more beautiful than I remembered as a kid. So yeah, do you have any advice for him?
Stop going to Kiss concerts because they're a real shitty band, first and foremost. And then yeah, move to LA. Be part of the Podcat Bro meetup. You know, this young man has a podcat. It's called Mentertainment, you know, every 4 years. Get it? Because it's called Mentertainment Weekly, but they only do it like every 4 years or so. That's the joke. So, you know, he's full. That entitles him to being part of the Podcat Bro meetup.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I say move to L.A., probably just like live with Sean Byron for a while. You know, that's my advice.
Yeah, just tell Sean we said it was cool, and he'll probably be all right with it.
Yeah, yeah. or, you know, like, just bring him, like, a VHS tape of, like, something really good, you know? He accepts VHS tapes as rent, you know? Just bring him Blue Velvet on VHS. He'll be into it.
Yeah, that sounds all right. Anyway, that's our email this week. Did you have any lightning rounds or anything?
Yeah, we have a very few minutes left. But Ridley Scott in the lightning round, this is something I want to talk about because it makes me heated. The other day, Ridley Scott, you know, they're working on this new Blade Runner. So somebody asked him, hey, is Deckard a replicant? Is Harrison Ford a replicant? And he said, yes. And now I feel like Ridley Scott is a real piece of shit. Not very good at making movies at all. Except for Alien, which is very good, even though I give it shit for inventing the cat scare and ruining horror movies forever. But this ruins this movie. I'm convinced that Ridley Scott doesn't understand how stories work. Because the whole crux of Blade Runner, and, you know, it's a very pretty movie and everything. But the whole crux of that movie is that one guy who's a human loses his humanity over the course of the movie. And one guy who's a replicant robot clone thing is searching for humanity. And their two lives intersect. And it shows you. It asks the question, well, who's more human? This broken down piece of shit over here who's like biologically human but doesn't feel like it, or this synthetic piece of shit over here who feels human. And so if they're both replicants, that movie means nothing. And I hate Ridley Scott forever. Do you have any strong feelings about this, Mr. Frisbee?
Yeah, actually. That helps ruin one of my favorite films. I actually like Blade Runner a lot. I think Rutger Hauer largely makes that movie, even though I think the other actors and actresses are really good. And I am inclined to agree with you about Ridley Scott. He's becoming a real George Lucas and wanting to make money off of his film properties and past efforts. Like, it wasn't enough just to do Alien and let that alone. He's like, oh, okay. Yeah, somebody else can keep it going. 3 and 4? Sure, do that. Aliens was great, but then they kept going with it and made it fucking horrible. Mm-hmm. And now there's this. Well, he did Prometheus is what I was trying to get at. Like, he wanted to extend that universe, and that's dumb because the entire point of that universe is that's very isolated and small despite being in space. And he's like, no, let's make it bigger. Dumb. Real dumb. And now this is even worse because I agree with everything he said. I like the openness of that film, the non-theatrical ending, because there's like 12 different ways that he cut it. And the one that was originally promoted as being like he and Sherilyn Finn get into the elevator and he doesn't know if he's a replicant or not, but he has like that insight now, this experience to be like, well, fuck, I need to just be better all around while I can, no matter how long my time limit is. That's way more interesting than saying like, yep, definitely a replicant. Because what the fuck does that mean? Like, is his time up soon? And the theatrical version, like, he was able to get Cheryl and Finn to have a normal human lifespan. And I mean, that's all dumb too, but I like the ending that it was. I like the story that it was. I like the movie that it was. And to do this, like, I'm not going to see this. Not even out of curiosity. I don't think I'll ever see it.
That's understandable. The only version of Blade Runner I've ever seen is the one that implies heavily, like the director's cut or whatever, that implies heavily that dude's a replicant.
You know, with the unicorn origami at the end?
Yeah.
Or the sorigami?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was infinitely more interesting, where they just left it unsaid. Yeah. And, yeah, this is a real, real fucking bummer, man.
That fucking guy. That Ridley Scott. He's a real piece of shit.
Yeah. Ridley Scat, right?
Hell yeah.
Scat means poo. Yeah.
In other news, real quick, because we gotta go. The Interview has been taken out of theaters, but International American Hero. I don't know how you can be an international American hero. But one of my favorite people on earth, Larry Flint, is going to do a porn parody. Just to piss off North Korea. And I love him. I think he's an American hero.
Yeah, that sounds really funny.
I think it's great. He's still at it. Still. After getting shot and paralyzed, you know, for the sake of pissing people off and being free, still at it. Might get blown up. Might get nuked. I love him. I think he's great.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
You can go watch it.
Yeah, I'll definitely watch it. I would, if it comes out, I will even pay for it just to support this idea.
Yeah, man. It's been a really fucked up year, I think. And, I don't know. Any encouraging words for the next year? We're going to do a show for next week, but still.
Yeah, you know, just like be excellent to each other.
Right on. That's great. Party on, dudes. We got a great email this week from James, so thanks again for that. If you'd like to email us, it's poolpartyradio@gmail.com. You can find all our old episodes at poolpartyradio.com, Sabbath Bells and whatnot. It's all there. You can subscribe on iTunes, leave us ratings and reviews. We love them shits. Stitcher Radio, we're also on that. And you can find us on Twitter at Final Parker, at Cumulus Frisbee, at Pool Party Radio. And leave anything out?
Follow me on Instagram. I'm there at Ultimate Parker. Instagram's fun. I got a lot of puns going on there. You know, it's
always a great time. And Facebook.com/Pool Party Radio
mm-hmm.
for updates and pictures and whatnottery. It's all a lot of fun.
That's true. So until next week, this is Parker for Cumulus saying we're in a boat. I love you.
I love you.
All right! Toronto! You feel good? All right then, listen. You know, we may be under clear blue skies, but you know, it's getting a little cool out tonight, but that ain't gonna stop us, because if we try hard enough, we're gonna get this place. I said we're gonna get this place! How did it help? Yeah! Alright! This is for all the little girls out there. We got some girls out there tonight. I said we got some girls out there tonight! Alright then, this is for all you strutters! Alright, listen! I want to know if we got any people here tonight that like to get high. We got any people tonight that are high? All right then, listen. You know, every once in a while we like to get a little wasted. We like to take a taste of alcohol. And I tell you, when we won't get going, we ain't gonna be drinking no Southern Comfort, no, no! No, we ain't gonna be drinking no tequila! Cause I tell you, when we won't get going, you know there's only one drink that gets us moving! I can't hear you! guys like to get licked. You lick me, I lick you. Want y'all to help us with this one? Goes like this. Now you gotta sing. This is like the smallest crowd we played for. Doesn't mean you can't be the loudest.
Tonight, we got some animals. Let me hear you go. Ow! to spend one night with you. I want to make you scream. Let me hear you. Know something. If you ever come back here and pay your money to see a band that doesn't give you what you deserve, get on your telephone. Give us a call. We'll come back here. You deserve the best.
My goodness. Oh, my goodness. We're going to have to call out the doctor. Talking about Dr. Love. Here's one that's really easy to remember. Message is simple. If you want a little rock and roll, all you gotta do, shout it out loud!
Yeah. Well, with this change of the weather, some people might have a little rock and roll pneumonia! Some people said we were crazy to attempt this. Maybe we are crazy, but that's what makes us Kiss.
Whoa, 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 whoa. People, can you hear me? Well, I want y'all to help me with this thing right now. I need y'all help, people. Kiss on me. Raise your voices every time I say. Every time I say I want people, I want y'all to say, you, I want. Good first try. I'll give it all I got, you give it all you got. Whoa, 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 whoa. Sounds pretty good. Check this out. I won't. Atlantic City. Baby, 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 I want you.